Lord's already working in my heart. I've been talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, all this stuff that the Lord's been doing lately. But and I just sense before, because we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, about letting the Holy Spirit lead in everything that we do. And I just sense there's some of you out there that just, y'all are in a position where you couldn't hear from God if you wanted to right now, just because of things going on in your life. And I don't know where this comes from. It's in my notes. I for some reason, I just sense a lot of despair, you know, of discouragement. And I just want to pray before we even get started, because this message on the church and refocus and all this stuff is going to be meaningless if we don't really receive the Holy Spirit and be able to listen to Him. So let me pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for tonight, God. I just, Lord, You know I'm scared to death to go off and do something off the notes. Lord, I do sense, Lord, there's some discouragement here tonight, God, that maybe there's just a disconnect even with some people with You, God. And so I pray, God, that somehow, Lord, even in this time of prayer, Lord, You would just begin to woo people closer to You. God, that You would just begin to let them know that even if they aren't attentive to Your Spirit, that Your Spirit still draws them. God, and so I pray that Your Spirit would reign in here tonight. God, speak through me. Lord, speak through these words. And Lord, just speak through this message, God. And so I pray, God, that You would just be glorified in everything that we do as individuals and as a church. So You would get all the glory. Amen. Last week we talked about Peter and how Peter had kind of went his own way and went fishing, kind of gave up on the Lord. It had been 2 weeks, you know, four weeks he'd seen the Lord. And he decided to just go do his own thing, didn't catch any fish. And so we realize that that doesn't work when we just go off doing our own thing, right? And so even the message I put, refocus the church, was the title of the message. But today I changed it. It's like, follow me, church. Okay, just like he told Peter to follow him, I'm saying, follow me, church. And it's a lot harder for a church to follow God than it is for an individual to follow God, because we're a bunch of individuals, right? Okay, and so tonight, it's vital to the health of this body of believers that we continually evaluate why we do what we do. Okay, because Satan is a great distractor, and we're easily distracted. Y'all the same way? Dang a little old carrot in front of you, go do whatever you want to do. You know, Satan, he's bad. When we get out of alignment from some time, and this is a quote from Craig Rochelle, It, and it's so funny. This quote was from one of our vision sermons before. Okay, it says, a car out of alignment is hard to keep on the road. It wears out tires and other parts, and eventually may crash. Without vision alignment, the people are busy doing something. They are driving along, doing church, but without any direction, and are easily pulled off center. They are moving with no destination in mind. Without a compelling vision, people just like tires quickly wear themselves out. And as I read that, you know, I was thinking, okay, that's kind of us today even, you know, just a little bit. As we evaluated as a leadership team, sometimes we get a little off center. You know, not that we're totally off the road, but we get a little off center. And what's crazy about this is one of the same quotes out of a passage we did in August, okay? August isn't that far long ago, folks. And there's a tendency, we're so fickle, we seem to get out of alignment very easy. Okay? And so that's what I'm saying. We need that continual filling of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons that I see that cars and things get out of alignment is because they hit bumps every now and again, right? Knock their tires off. Some of y'all have hit some bumps in your life, and that might be what's getting you out of alignment, you know? And sometimes you get out of alignment because you just don't do any preventive maintenance. I mean, you just like, everything's just fine, okay? As long as they don't just fall totally apart, then I'm okay. But I'm going to tell you what, in your Christian life and in your car and things like that, you really need to do some preventive maintenance. It's called quiet time. It's called reading the Word. It's called allowing God to use you and serving others. And there's just so many ways that you can do preventive maintenance, okay, to keep yourself in alignment. And so tonight we're going to revisit our mission statement, as well as share with the body some exciting things that the elders and leadership team feel that may be the next step for Living Hope Bryan. And I want to stop right there and just praise God for the leadership meeting that we had last week, okay? Let me get an amen, because leaders, amen, okay? All right, because and I'm going to tell you what, y'all, everybody here ought to get saved because of that, because it was a five-hour meeting, and we got leaders praising God for a five-hour meeting, okay? Only God can do that. And I'm going to tell you, do not miss that miracle. Only God can do that. And I'm going to tell you where the praise comes from, is because we didn't just walk into that meeting just like some of us walk into this church service. Uh-oh, huh? We didn't just walk into that meeting. We asked y'all to pray. We prayed. I asked them to pray and fast because we knew this was important. And I'm going to tell you what, when you get serious, God will meet you, okay? And when you pray and fast, and I'm going to give all the glory to God for the prayers of his body and the prayers of those leaders for that meeting, okay? Because we came together in 5 hours, man, and it was encouraging, amen? And so, man, I praise God for that, okay? We're going to share some of those things with you tonight. Okay, but we are the body of Christ, and each member is important to what we do or what we become. Because it's not about what the leaders decided. See, because the leader, I'll tell you how, we've got the three elders and the team leader from each ministry team representing the body. We had some spouses and things like that there, so we had a good group of people there. But the bottom line is y'all are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We make the decisions totally, okay? And that's why y'all need to be in relationship with the Lord as well, because we need to hear from y'all, okay? It can't be just the leader, all right? And my prayer for this body is that for each individual, we will allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in everything we do. That's my goal. That's my heart because God has really, really worn me out since January 1st, okay? Because I really feel like I did a lot of stuff on my own power. Now, God blessed and he come along with the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, we got sick during Christmas. There was a time and all of us were sick. And I was sitting there and sick, tired, you know, everybody around. And, you know, I'm just going to confess to you guys. And I wasn't going to do this. I was going to keep that to myself because the Lord has already dealt with me about this. But I sat there for 2 or 3 days, plenty of time, didn't have a message to preach. And I just didn't feel the need to get alone with God. I wasn't feeling good. Family was in and all this stuff, you know. About that third day, the Lord said, you act like you don't even need me. Ouch, you know. And I suggest probably some of y'all the same way, okay. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you, okay? Not that I'm any better than you, but I'm going to tell you what, the devil attacks me hard, okay? And he will attack you hard as well. That's why you need the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I made a commitment to God, hey, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. As of January 1st, I've listened for him. What, 9 days, man? I ain't nervous a bit. I don't care what y'all think, man. Last week was good, man. And God has been putting things in my mind that I don't even know where they came from, okay? And so I really want you to know that if you allow God to lead you through the Holy Spirit in that personal relationship with you, he will do amazing things, okay? So y'all keep praying for me and the leadership that we will keep following and being led by the Holy Spirit, okay? Because that's all he really wants us to do, okay? And so, that's going to require intense focus, okay, for us to do that, okay? And it's going to require accountability. You know, you can't lie to me if I tell you when you're going, okay, how things are going. You're going to be able to lie to me, okay? It's going to take a commitment to prayer and a patience as we wait on the Lord. See, that's the problem. We don't want to wait on the Lord. We want to just do what we got to do, okay? That's the problem with us. But the Holy Spirit a lot of times will allow us to make us wait. Just like he tried to do Peter, but he didn't do it, okay? And so as we look at our vision and look at what this church is all about, I want to kind of categorize some areas that I think that I would love for this church to be known for, okay? Because we got our mission statement we're going to go over a little bit, and we got our vision points and all these things that we do. You know, it's not what we do. It's who we are that God cares about, okay? It's not the things that we do. But these are the things I'd love to be known for this year and for every year. A connection. When people look at us, say, you know what? Them people love each other. You know, inside the body, that we would become a family. And not only that we'd become a family in here, that we would have connection with our coworkers, that we'd have connection with everybody around us, that we would be connected to people. That's my heart when people look at the church. What are they about? And they love people, okay? And I would love to see that then they look at us. That's that church that ain't never inside the church. They're always out here knocking doors and things like that. That's what I want to be known for. I want to be known for somebody that's pursuing the lost, you know, the lovely, the unlovely. It doesn't matter who you are. These people coming for you. You better lock your doors. You know, that's what I want to be known for, okay, this year. And a commitment to each other. I mean, showing up, being there for each other, you know, not, you know, when somebody's down, man, we got to be committed to each other. I want to be known for that. And not only to each other, but to God. And then people don't do nothing but go to church. You know, I want to be known for that, you know. But I also want to be known I want this community and these people to know that we are people of prayer. That we can't do nothing on our own. That we love a God so much that every time something comes up, we hit our face. Okay, that's a vision, man. That's my heart. You know, that's my heart for me, and that's my heart for you. And if we ever get there, I'm going to tell you what, this community will never be the same, okay? And so, why does Living Hope Bryan exist? At Living Hope Bryan, our reason for existence is summarized in what we call our mission statement. Along with our mission statement, we have vision points. These are specific areas in which we live to seek out the mission as body, as a church, and as individuals. Although some of our specific vision points may change, and they have, okay, we've simplified a little bit, and so we'll get into that in just a little bit, you know. But our mission will never change. Our goal is to bring honor and glory to God. It will never change. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, okay? The glory of God, the glory of God. That's why we do this, okay? And so we have a mission statement. And our mission statement is, we are, I'll say it one time, and y'all better get it. I'm about to fall off this thing. We are a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. All right, let's hear it. Yeah, we made it simple for me, okay? We made it simple so we could remember it, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, that is such a powerful statement if we allow it to be a part of our lives, and it's so scriptural. It comes from the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. Love God. Love people. All your heart. Did y'all get that? All. All means all, and that's all means. And that's every time I hear that word, I'm going to say it every time. Because we get the deciphering word. What the Greeks say about this? I'm going to say all means all. Okay? Cut and dry. That's it. All right? All. And then the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. See, there's that word again. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. See, Jesus has the authority. He's got the authority over everything, and he lives in us, okay? So because of that, therefore, we're to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And this is the greatest part. And surely I am with you always. Come on now. Come on now. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay? He's with us. And so this commission, he didn't send us on nothing on our own. Okay? And you know, this may be very, very simple, but I'm going to tell you what, it's enough. Because if you try, it's hard to live this out. Love God and love people. Okay? But if you will wholeheartedly commit to this mission statement and these scriptures in every aspect of your life, I will promise you. You hear me? I will promise you that you will receive the abundant life that God promises you in the new design. I promise you. Okay? It's going to be hard now. It ain't easy. All right? And so we use this in every aspect of decision-making of our ministry, is to love God and to love people. And what that does, that takes the focus off of us. Okay? Takes the focus off of us. And so we're going to go through that. We're going to break it down, because when we were in that core group meeting, we were some word-breaking down fools. I mean, that's why every word here means something. I'm just telling y'all, okay? And so we want this to be simple where we can remember it, but we want it to be powerful where it'll change our lives, okay? So we are. This means we are in this together. I need you and you need me. I cannot be the Christian that I need to be without you, and you can't be the Christian you need to be without me, okay? And in Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, anybody ever fail? All right? If one falls down, his friend can help him up. Amen? Somebody in here ever helped you up? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. And there's people out there that have no one to help them. Okay? Pity the man. We must pity that man. Okay. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. See, God never intended you to do this Christian thing by yourself. He didn't intend you to do life by yourself. You know, he created you for a relationship with himself, but he created you to be a blessing to others. Okay? We don't get this gift just to keep to ourselves. All right? We are to spread the gospel. We're Christian. We are a Christian. We're Christian, okay? Everything we do, we will not apologize for our Christ. Because that word, because in that culture, they were called little Christ. That was a derogatory thing, okay? But I don't care what people say. I'm a Christian. I love Christ, okay? And that's what we are. We are Christian. We're the church. We're the body of Christ, okay? We're the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what we are as the church, okay? When you come and join here, we are going and pulling on the same rope. We are Christian. And it's all about Jesus. And every time we meet you, we want to tell you about our Savior. Okay? And we want to present him to you. But we're a fellowship as well. We're a Christian fellowship. And that word fellowship means it's a sharing in common. It's a partnership. It's a communion. Communion. We meet together personally and corporately. Okay? We're a fellowship. I mean, we love each other. We hang out together. Okay? And Acts 2:42 is the greatest example of a group of the first church. Okay? They devoted themselves. Look what they devoted themselves to. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay? They showed up for church. You know what I'm saying? They came when it was Bible study time to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to receiving the gospel for themselves, letting it impact their lives. And they devoted themselves to preaching the gospel because that's what the apostles' teaching was. They taught all about Jesus. All right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, you know, this corporate worship. They came to church. You didn't have to beg them to come to church. The Acts church, they met every day. Man, we get crazy when we got to come once a week, all right? We are messed up. I'm just telling you, we are messed up. They were devoted to the fellowship. And they hang out, and you heard that they ate meals and stuff in their home. They were devoted to hanging out with each other as well, you know? Now, we got some little groups that hang out. Group, it's time for the whole body to hang out, okay? We got to work some of these people in. They don't come hang out with us every now and then, okay? So we got to be proactive. But they hanging out together. All right. And they were devoted to the breaking of bread, sharing a meal, the Lord's Supper. And they were devoted to prayer. We're going to talk a little bit more about prayer at the very end of this service. But prayer was a big deal to them, okay? And so striving to, man, this striving to. We're a Christian fellowship. Striving to, and I'm going to tell you, these two words here are almost the key to what goes on with of loving God and loving people. Because this idea of striving, what these two words tell us is that we haven't arrived yet. I mean, because we put that one in there because we all in that group knew we were human, okay? We knew we couldn't love God, and we knew that we couldn't love people without something empowering us, and that is the Holy Spirit. Y'all hear me? Okay? That is the Holy Spirit. We're striving to. Okay, we haven't arrived. We need God, okay? We need God. But here's the thing about striving. We're also committed to growth. When we say that we're striving, we're committed to growth. We're committed to a personal vision because every one of us needs to have a personal ministry, okay? This isn't about this church doing this. God, what are you doing around and experiencing God? God is always at work around us. That's every one of us. The church we become depends on what God does around you. Don't just coattail the leadership of this church. Allow God to use you, okay? We're striving to personal growth, personal vision, okay? And that means we're seriously involved by God's Spirit and His grace, okay? Turn over to 2 Peter 1, 3 through 13. We're going to go through some scriptures. Now, I'm going to try to go fast tonight, but you know what, guys? I don't even care. I really don't. Because this is important. This is important, okay? This is very, very important. You know, if you got something better to do and you think you just got to get up after about 30 more minutes, go ahead. I mean, I'm okay with it because I'm going to tell you what this is. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 13. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Did y'all get that? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, His glory and goodness, He has given us His great and precious promises. He didn't have to give it to us. We were messed up, okay? But He gave it to us. And He gave it to us for a reason, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, okay? Christianity is not a spectator sport, folks, okay? It's a participation thing. It's a walk of faith. It's not a sit of faith, okay? You don't just sit and watch things go by off your couch. You walk this thing out, okay? That's how you grow. You got to get some leg muscles. You can't just get them push muscles. Man. I don't even know if that's a muscle, but anyway. So that you may participate in the divine nature, and not only participate, but that you may escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. See, we don't even get something. Man, I'll tell you what, you do not want the evil that you're in, I promise you. But sin is good for a season, but it will take you further than you ever want to go. Okay? And it will leave you hanging because the devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he tries to make that taste good. Okay? And he does. For this very reason, we're to make every effort to add to our faith. You're saying, well, God, I thought you just believed, Alan. Faith without action is dead, what James said. Okay? So we add to our faith. We have faith, but we don't just add to our faith, to make our faith better. It's a supplement, okay? We add to our faith. And what kind of things are we to add to our faith? We're to add to our faith this belief in God's goodness, okay? If your faith does not present some kind of excellence expressed in deeds, if your faith does not produce any deeds, it's not faith, okay? And you add to your faith into goodness, knowledge, and just being a good person ain't enough, okay? We need to learn why we're doing the things that we're doing, okay? Knowledge. We need to commit to learn God. We need to commit to learn God's word, and we need to commit to learn his voice. We talked about that last week. You know, God's speaking to us. I mean, if God's not, if you can't hear God, something's going on. There's a spiritual problem, because if you got the Spirit of God in you and you can't hear God's voice, something's going on with you, okay? And here's the cool part. All you got to do is ask forgiveness and repentance and turn from your wicked ways, and he'll show up tonight, okay? Tonight. You can get right with God tonight. You can hear his voice tonight. And I'm adamant about this, but I'm going to tell you what. A lot of y'all walking in defeat. And there's people in our church that ain't here tonight. And I'm almost wanting to call names, you know? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. You love God or you don't, you know? Don't pray for me. I'm thinking you're ready. This ain't no game, folks. You know? We got to learn his voice and his ways, okay? There's things that only God can do. One of the ways we learn in our discipleship classes, okay? You ain't never take none of the discipleship classes. You've been here for a long time. You experience it. Because you already told us that you would, you know? And take these classes. These classes are anointed, right? Take some time away from your own little personal TV time, game time, whatever it is, and learn something about the Lord. Learn something about our Lord, okay? Into knowledge, self-control. And how many of y'all need that? I put my hand up first. I'm telling y'all. But here's the cool thing about self-control. When you get self-control, you get to see God. Because that's what self-control is. It's a manifestation of the Spirit's control in a believer's life. See, when I have self-control, man, I get to praise God for that. Because I don't do that on my own. All right? That's God. And the self-control, perseverance. Man, how many of y'all need to persevere here tonight? Man, there's some stuff going on in your life. But see, this idea of perseverance, you view time with God's eyes while waiting for Christ's return. See, the fact that it ain't happened fast enough for you, when you have that perseverance, it don't bother you as much as it used to, okay? Perseverance means, look, it's in God's hands. I'm waiting. I'm not going to press the issue to try to make something happen and mess up again. Anybody ever done that? All right, I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to persevere. See, it's the ability to continue in the faith and resist the pressure of the world system. See, because the world system tells you, go ahead and get a divorce. Perseverance says, no, God's word says do not get a divorce, okay? Stick it out. Do it God's way. Change. Love that person. Accept love from that. Forgive. There's a lot of things that God's word says, but the world tells you to quit, all right? And also, the world also tells you to charge it. You deserve it. You work hard, you know? And perseverance is waiting on God to provide it for you. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we get our sense of worth on what we drive and what we live and things like that. That's ridiculous. And our worth is because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lives in us. That's what makes us worth something. Okay? That's what makes me worth something. I don't know about y'all. I don't care what I wear. Well, I only wear clothes that make me. I wear. No. I'm telling y'all. I'm sorry. That was not the spirit. That was not the spirit. I'm sorry. Why'd I do that? You know what? Whew. And the perseverance, godliness, if that wasn't. Godliness is devotion to God. See, when you're a godly person, it ain't about you anymore. It's about God. Okay? And the godliness, brotherly kindness. Especially fellow believers. Church, it's time to quit competing with all these other churches. We need to love them, come alongside them, help them, whatever it is that we need to do, okay? And the brotherly kindness love. See, true love flows from God, who is love. You can't really love nobody without God, right? Okay? We must produce the attributes of God to each other as well as to a watching world. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. Okay? And it's forgotten that it's being cleansed from his past sins. See, it's possible that even Christians can get off track every now and again. I hope so. Happened to me this preaching. Okay? The thing about it is, though, the Holy Spirit won't let me stay off very long. All right? That's the cool part about it. I ain't saying I'll never get off. I just don't stay off. Because I love Jesus. All right? Therefore, my brothers, be all more eager to make your election, calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for that. Huh? Well, here's my part, and your part to me back. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them, are firmly established in the truth and that you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. As long as I'm connected to you, I get to rebuke you. I get to love you. I get to encourage you. I get to serve with you. I get to serve you. I get to hang out with you. But you get to do the same thing with me. Okay? Man, if y'all see me slipping, somebody help me. I'm going to tell you what, in my heart, I don't want to slip. Okay? And I think in your heart, you don't want to slip. You know? So if you're slipping, don't pull back from the body. That's you. Love God, okay? Striving to. All that was because we strive to. All right. To love God, you know? And it should be easy. But the reason it's not easy is because it's so opposite of our human nature. Even though we want to love God, we don't. But I mean, because really, the most significant way that you can love God is do what he tells you to do. Obedience is loving God. In John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And again in verse 21, it says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Okay? He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. How many of y'all want to see God show up in your life and in your ministry, at your home, and your family, in the diseases, whatever it is that God is going on? We need to see God, okay? Just listen, keep your ear to the Spirit, and do what he tells you to do, okay? Because it's a way that we get to show God that we love him, okay? And if you love God, it should affect the decisions that you make. Because in experience, in God, it talks about it, it says, you know, man, I'm always having trouble in my quiet time. I'm always having trouble in my quiet time. And Henry Blackaby just stuck you right in the heart. He said, this ain't an obedience problem. It's a love problem. If you love God, you're going to hang out with him, okay? So the days that I don't, the days that I didn't, okay, I was telling God I didn't love him, all right? But he says, I know you love me, you know? So he stuck me right back, you know, and gets you back on track because that's the loving God that we have, okay? And in your prayer, and then you're going to sacrifice if you love God, okay? If you love God, you're going to pray. If you have trouble praying, you need to say, hey, you just ask yourself the question. Because that's exactly what he asked Peter. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. You know, hang out with me. All right. And to love people. And this may be the hardest part. Because y'all know people just like us. People get on your last nerve, right? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13:3, 4-8. Here's what I want you to do. It's a very, very familiar passage. I'm just going to read through it. And as I read through this thing, I want you to look, and I want you to allow the Spirit of God. And this is the way God works, okay? When I say love is patient, I mean, this could be an encouraging time for you. It could be a time where you say, God, man, I was patient yesterday. You know, this could be an attaboy from our God, okay? The word doesn't always stick you, okay? Sometimes it encourages you, all right? But the word is a double-edged sword, okay? And so it could be a time of encouragement, but I'm going to tell you what, if God brings somebody to your mind as I'm reading through these very slow, would you please acknowledge it as God? Okay? That's the way God speaks to you through his Holy Spirit. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. How are you doing on that? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Say what? You got a messed up marriage, put some love on it. You got a messed up workplace, you put some love on it. I have put a lot. I put it on every day. You may have to put it on for years. Okay? But you put some love on it, it's going to work. Okay? Because we're commanded to love each other. Because we know that this love thing is kind of hard with people, right? Love God and love people. If it wasn't for people, man, we could do all right sometimes, you know? But we're called here for people. Somebody sent somebody to you. All right? Okay, so we got to love God and love people. Love always protects people from themselves, even at the cost of persecution. See, sometimes you got to step out. Love always hopes, always perseveres. Never give up on them. This is where the power of prayer comes in. And now do you see why we need God's Spirit? I can't love you sometimes without God's Spirit. You can't love me sometimes without God's Spirit. And so that's what we're all about, okay? If you're visiting here, you just got into a hornet's nest. I mean, we are serious about this, okay? We may be small someday, but we are going to be very serious about what we're doing, okay? I am not about numbers, you know? I like the place to be full, too, but I'm going to tell you what, I want people who are committed to the Lord, okay? Now, here's the thing. I understand, just like I said tonight, I understand that some of y'all are not quite there yet. That don't mean I want you to leave. That means I want you to allow the body of Christ to minister to you, bring you along, show the grace of God, because that's the thing that we're supposed to do as well. We ain't supposed to kick you just because you're not doing right, okay? I'm just telling you what God's Word says. You let it kick you. I'm not kicking you. I love you, you know? And I want to walk with you. I want to help you through these things, but I can't help you through something I don't know you're not going to, okay? So there's three levels of buy-in usually in the same book. Yeah, he talks about three levels of buy-in in church membership. Level one, people believe in the vision enough to benefit from it. These church attenders are people with a consumer mindset. They come to church because they like it. They receive something from the ministry. And to them, that's what's important. Program people. If you don't got enough programs, they ain't staying. You know, they want programs. All right, level two, the people believe in the vision enough to contribute it comfortably. These people are consumers but are ready to contribute as long as it's easy. They're happy to help if it doesn't interfere with their other priorities. Okay? Level three, the people believe in the vision enough to give their lives to it. They understand the vision and get it. They recognize that their lives are not their own. They belong to Jesus. They are part of the greatest cause on earth. So I ask you, what level are you at? But before you answer that question, I want you to watch this video, and I'll be right back.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guy, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
I think I need to lighten y'all up a little bit. Me Church, anybody want that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, y'all don't want that? One reason we did that, just kind of a transition, but the next part of the sermon, we met as a leadership team, and there's going to be a few little changes that we do, you know, and so I just kind of want to go over some of those with you guys, but I want you to know that the purpose for these changes is one of the things we realized that we've been going on this road. We all came from a big church. A lot of us were big church ministry people. We were leaders of the big church, and so we began this church doing big church stuff with little church people, okay, and so we found as we've been going down the road, Y'all getting tired, I'm getting tired, people getting tired, okay? And it's not even a matter of getting tired, okay? But here's the thing. We got to looking at some numbers about Sunday night and things like that, and how the energy that was being put in there, really the benefits of it weren't coming true, and so or they wasn't producing the spiritual fruit that we felt like that we needed to. And so those are some of the reasons that we made some of the changes that we did. And really, here's the thing. I mean, we make changes. One of the things in our essentials was that we be flexible, okay? And I'm going to tell you what, you need to be flexible when you follow in the Lord, because he'd juke you every now and again, you know? You know, he really will, okay? So the purpose of these changes is to be more effective in using energy and time, and then to help us better accomplish our vision. And so I'm going to share some things with you, and I think you'll agree. Okay, first, we'll continue to meet on Saturday nights. Now, if we ever change the total night, this would have to be a church thing, okay? Well, this is the night on Saturday nights, as we said as a core group, picking up children and stuff at nights was the best time to do that. And so we decided to stay on Saturday nights. Okay, now, well, here's the thing. We are not, it's not that Saturday nights is taboo, and that it always has to be Saturday nights. But this is one of the things that we decided as a group that we're going to continue with the Saturday nights, because here's one of the things I think that happened to us, all right? We really haven't given Saturday night, even though we've been here a year, we really haven't given Saturday nights. We haven't advertised in this community a whole lot. You know, we've done a few contact visitations. We've done a decent job right around here, but we haven't did our vision of being multicultural and hitting everybody, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to continue to meet on Saturday nights, okay? And so we're going to need to give a conscious effort for the next 6 months to advertising and to pursue the other areas of Bryan. Okay, and so how we're going to do that? We're going to do a mailer here pretty soon. There are going to be 26,000 sent out. Okay, y'all don't get scared. The numbers say not that many people come. All right, not 26,000. We can't do 26,000 anyway. But the whole idea is to get it out there and let people know. And what we're going to do it, we're going to do it in 5,000 people increments. Okay, and so the mailer is going to go out and over a period of 5 weeks or so. Right, Joe? Something like that. Yeah, wait 2 weeks, you know, see what happens and stuff. So we're going to do a conscious effort of putting our name back out there again, okay? But that's why it's so important that as individuals, man, we get this thing right. So when people begin to come, we love them, okay? And we take care, and we're good stewards, you know? Because if God brings people and we're not good stewards with them, you think he's going to give us any more? Okay, so that's not just my job, guys. That's everybody's job. That's the body. Okay, and so the mailer, and we're going to do some contact visitation. And here's some needs that you, if you're willing to help, just email me on the city or whatever. I will look at it. Okay, just send it to me. We need some people helping with the contact visitation. Now, Miss Judy has done the maps and stuff before. Basically, we want to get some packets set up. And what contact visitation is, we go knock on doors, give them something, thank them for coming, you know, invite them to the church, pray for them. But we just hit the different areas. And we would love for this to be a body thing where possibly we could have some packets for you guys, and you could take them as your community groups and stuff and help the mission of the church, okay? And instead of just being just a group of people that show up here on a Saturday or so, make it a part of everybody's vision and mission, okay? That's one of the things. So y'all be watching for that. Those are some things that we're going to do to be a little bit more purposeful, you know, because we want to be outreach-minded outside this church, but we also want to reach way around just right in here, okay? All right, so that's one of the things that we're going to do. Okay, but we will officially meet only one Sunday night per month. And this is where the biggest change is, because we've been doing both Sunday nights, and we found that energy can be used better somewhere else. Okay, but that one Sunday night a month is going to be fun. How many were here in the summer? I guess all of us are. Remember when we had the corporate worships and we went out and did those kind of things? That was fun, right? Okay, those are some of the things we're going to continue to do. February, we're planning on doing that. We've already got one church that says they're probably going to come. Okay, this month we're going to do baptisms on the we're going to get to do baptisms in the gym, in the foyer of the gym. Correct, Joe? Okay, all right. That's kind of like one of these, because y'all know as well as I do about that gym. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But anyway, that's just one of those things. We're going to do baptisms next Sunday. Is that next Sunday? Next Sunday night, okay. So if you want to be baptized, be here at 5 o'clock, okay? The baptism's next Sunday, all right? And that's one of the things that we're going to try to do on those. We can do corporate worships with other churches, contact visitations, Cornelia fellowships. It's limitless what we can do, but we're going to do stuff a little bit more focused on them one times, okay? So you're going to have three, and other months, four Sundays that are off, okay? Yes, pour into your family. Yes, go do some things that periodically, but don't just take 3 months out of the year and just spend it all on yourself, okay? Because here's some things that let me give you some suggestions. I'm just giving you suggestions because I'm After tonight, I want the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do with that time. Okay, I want you to be listening to God because what it'll do, there's times where we can pour into each other. Okay, we know Sunday night you can call me and say, "Hey, Alan, what you doing on Sunday night?" "Oh, I got something going." "Well, no, you don't. We're off three Sundays, you know." And so I should be able to call you to do that too. So that's the kind of atmosphere that I would love for this church to become. It is an atmosphere where, hey, can I come on over? Yeah, you know, those kind of things. And that's really my heart, okay? But we must remain flexible. And this could be a great time for family prayer time, family devotions. And one of the things that I've realized, okay, is some of y'all, and you don't have to raise your hand, but if you want to email me or something, if you really have trouble doing family devotions, if you've never done it and it's intimidating to you, just let me know, because I bet you there's some families out there that would love to pour into you on them Sunday nights, okay, and help come over to your house and help you do a Bible study, a prayer, whatever it is, okay, because that's discipleship. Okay, that's discipleship, the body being the body. And so if you'd be willing to do that, email me or on the city or whatever, just do those things. And if you need that, it's not a pride thing. I mean, if you've never done it, I'll tell you what, I'm the first one to tell you, we never had good family Bible studies at our house. The devil came in and I quit. Okay, and I'm going to just tell you, the grace of God, my kids are saved. Because, I mean, not that I was a bad guy, but I'm just telling you, the grace of God took my mess ups and still made it good. But I'm going to tell you what, a family Bible study, a family devotional time, something serious like that could really impact families, okay? So we need your help on that. Okay? Because that's one of the things we want to be. We want to grow closer together, okay? But it ain't about us just growing closer together. I want you to have some time to pour out into the different ministries, okay? Last Sunday, we got to go hang out with a family that we never get to hang out with. Okay, that Dina's been ministering to and we've known for a while. We just didn't have time to do that. It was really cool to get to do that, okay, on the Sundays. We may even get to go to other churches, you know. Maybe if you want to go hang out with another church, bless them, go to their service. There's a lot of things that you can do with that Sunday, but just don't take it just for yourself, okay? Allow the Spirit of God to do that. I know y'all want me to tell y'all what to do. That's religion. You need a relationship. You don't need me to tell you what's okay to do on Sunday and what's not okay. You need God to tell you to do that, okay? And so those are some of the things that we want to try to do on Sunday nights, okay? It's my hope that in prayer that God will create an atmosphere where people are comfortable calling each other and inviting each other over to fellowship. But we got to actively seek those who are new, okay? Because we want genuine relationships. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I went to church for 17 years with superficial relationships. Superficial relationships stink. They have no power. There ain't no reason to even mess with them, honestly. You know, superficial relationships, that's a relationship that you will not let nobody in, just on the outside. I'm going to tell you, I want to be like a family. And God got me again. All this sickness, man, God teaches me a lot through sickness, okay? And I know my brother don't want me to share this story, but I'm going to anyway. Woke up Christmas morning, Dina was sick. I'm going to tell you what, she threw up all night. I mean, she was sick, couldn't quit throwing up. And it's Christmas morning, I got up and I like, man, what am I going to do? So I called my sister. I know Dwayne Brigger, you know. I know, man, I can't call nobody on Christmas, you know. I called my sister, and she said, Carlos and Kayleen said, they got drugs. No, they didn't say that. No. They said Carlos and Kayleen had some stuff to keep you from throwing up, you know. And I'm like, man, it's Christmas morning. I can't call them, you know. But, man, I looked at my poor wife over there, and I said, you know what? I called my sister. Why can't I call my brother, you know? And so I called my brother, and I asked him to look around. He did. And you know what? You know what that boy said? They opened him presents, okay? He said, you want me to bring it to you? I'm like, absolutely not. I do not want you to bring it to me. I'll be over there in a minute. But you know what's cool about that? That's family, okay? That's real. That's real relationships. And that's what we want out of this church. That's what we want people to be like, okay? We're not there yet, okay? But I'm telling you, that's why it's a vision. That's why it's a focus. We want to be there. But it ain't going to get there if you don't do that, okay? And the witness of that is amazing, because we were at our Christmas, getting everybody else sick later. We was at our Christmas, and I was telling my brother-in-law about that. And he said, you know what? That's real friendship. So even other people get to notice when the body of Christ is the body of Christ, okay? And so if I've ever let you down in that area, I'm sorry, okay? I'm human too, but we're working on this thing together, okay? Nobody's perfect, except Carlos. I mean, he did good. Hey, all for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you what, there was a time Carlos probably would have hung up on me, you know? But I didn't know that time, because he's always been cool ever since I've known him, okay? All right. Man, I gotta hurry. Okay, we're in the process of negotiating for the building over there, and that ought to be a praise for some of y'all, because we prayed not long ago. We couldn't even be in that building, okay? That was the time. There's a time they have reopened negotiations for us to go in that building. So, if allowed, here's some things that we, as a leadership team, we thought, we've already prayed about it, okay? God opened the door for us to not walk through there, even though we're not totally full, for us not to walk in that faith. I don't know that would be wise, okay? It's going to take faith for us to take this group in that building, because it's a big old building, okay? But here's the thing. Whenever we put out those flyers, won't it be nice when they come into that real nice fancy building, you know, and something new, something, and it'll look empty. So they'll say, man, they need some more people. You know, we're going to go get some more people. It kind of looks full in here. I've actually heard people tell me, even like it is now, that it looks intimidating in here. Kind of long and skinny, okay? So here's the thing. Everything that we do is because... if it makes somebody intimidated, we want to do something about it if possible, okay? Right now, I praise God for this building because it's been a blessing for us, okay? All right, so be praying about that, the building. Pray for favor and all that and just wisdom, okay? In our discipleship classes, Brian talked to y'all. He'll be back there tonight. There's going to be some changes. You know, we were doing them on Sunday night, so there's going to be some changes. He'll tell you about those. So that's discipleship. And then the true discipleship happens outside of these walls. Do y'all know that? Okay? And so what I'm really excited about is for the children and the youth. It kind of messed the youth all up because they were meeting on Sunday nights and doing that stuff. But one of the things that Carlos told me, he said, this is a great opportunity now for those youth volunteers to be able to volunteer and mentor them kids like they said that they would, okay? And Dustin told me the same thing. He said the things in the children that are going well are the Sunday night stuff or the Saturday night stuff, okay? And so they're going to focus. That's what we've done. We've just trimmed up and did solid focus on some little areas, and we're going to add as God adds, and we're going to add as God leads, okay? We're not going to add just because Living Hope had it before, okay? Those are the things. We already made that mistake. We're done, okay? We're making a few little bit of changes in that area. But Dustin told me, he said, it would be really great if their workers can go hang out with them kids in their own neighborhoods, okay? Because you get them all cooped up back there, it gets crazy sometimes, you know? But they can go play in the neighborhood and stuff. So both ministries, everybody's excited about this thing. So I really want the body to be excited and to have buy-in on that, okay? Because the whole thing is about this night, we want people to have personal ministry, okay? If you don't have ministry outside this church, it's on your own. Now, if you don't have a family or something that you're pouring into, or you don't know anybody, Dustin said, and I'm sure Carlos will ask them. See, because that's one of the things with the children's ministry that we talked about. We wanted to be able to impact the families, okay? We want to be able to impact the families. And so we haven't been able to do that yet. But you can help by calling Dustin and say, hey, are there any families that could use somebody pouring into them? Okay, and so y'all just be listening for that. These are just things, possibilities. But realize this is where we're at. Okay, So the church we become depends on the members listening and obeying to God. Okay, but prayer is the key. And I know I've gone long tonight, guys, but I'm gonna tell you, prayer is the key. Until we see prayer and the leadership of the Holy Spirit as being vital to everything that we do, we will only see temporary results at best, and we'll be like Peter last week. Okay, and I want to read. I've been reading this book, man. This has just been a great book for me. Fresh Power, and I'm gonna tell you, prayer is where it's at. Is where it's at. Okay, let me read a couple things, and I'm gonna go as quick as I can. Y'all bear with me. All right. What often holds us back is what I call cultural religion. Our blind devotion is to the way that we were raised in church and the atmosphere we experienced every Sunday. I thank God for every good thing learned in the past, every blessing received. But doesn't the Lord have more for us? Are we making such an impact on the world for God that we can't humble ourselves and pray for a change of the status quo? See, revival comes when people get dissatisfied with what is and yearn for what could be. See, that's what happened. That's where revival comes from. One of the distinguishing traits of the early church was their practice of serious prayer. The apostles had never said, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to lead worship. But they had asked the Lord to teach us to pray. Okay? In Luke 11:1, something about Jesus' ability to commune with his Father in heaven fascinated them. See, something about his prayer life caught their attention. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, he birthed a new spirit of prayer and intercession. They began following a simple practice, and this is a simple practice, guys. The best thing to do whenever emergencies come is to gather to pray, okay? It was the living reality to them that God responds when people call on his name. Indeed, this faith and fervency has begotten by the Holy Spirit of God. This is one of the spiritual facts of life that hungry pastors are coming to grasp more and more. They have been stirred by God and want a real change in their churches, especially in the matter of corporate prayer. But their zeal and intimate prayer to initiate prayer meetings of one kind or another often turns to gloom as they see their members uninterested, unmoved. Even those who attend the prayer service are often cold and mechanical, with little or no sense of the effectual, fervent praying mentioned in the Scripture. Okay? The root problem is the need of the Holy Spirit. That's the problem, guys. Okay? To come in power and birth a true spirit of prayer. The only way that you... I can't guilt you into praying and it be effective, fervent prayer. See, God's going to have to move in your heart, and he's going to have to challenge your love for him to move you into prayer. But when that happens, guys, I'm going to tell you what, God will show up. God will show up. In other words, we must first secure the Spirit's presence and grace, and then we can move into the powerful praying of all kinds and other needs. Let us remind what the Lord's promised. If you then know the evil, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, if you're struggling and you say, man, I just ain't got it, ask God. Ask God. Humble yourself and ask God. And he's going to open some doors, and we need God to open some doors. Amen? Amen? I'm going to just keep on reading. All right. When God moves into our lives, no obstacles can stop him. No obstacles can stop him. In the book of Acts, the rest of Peter's story illustrates this. See, this story is when Peter was, James had already been martyred. Peter was thrown in prison. The church began to pray. And then Peter came and the shackles came off him and he was releasing the chains. And this is where the story picks up. It says, then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter said and did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first, the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself and they went through it. When they had walked in the length of the street, suddenly an angel left. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. Notice that the angel and Peter had to confront the iron gate. See, there's a lot of iron gates in our lives right now, guys, that led to the city. This was the final obstacle. On the other side lay freedom. The Bible says it opened for them by itself. That's what prayer does. It opens up gates that we can't open, okay? No fumbling with a key, no battering ram. The last obstacle blocking Peter's freedom surrendered before the power of the Lord. Okay? This is such a word of encouragement to me whenever I read this passage. Aren't you and I tired of struggling to open doors with our own strength? It might be a door of opportunity for greater service to God or a door of resistance that bars us from stepping out into a new place with God. There are so many kinds of doors we confront when we serve Jesus because we wrestle against the powers of darkness. But God can do more in one day. Get this. God can do more in one day than we can accomplish in 10 years of human effort. Okay? I have spent months laboring to push doors open that only God could release. And I'm still learning that far more is accomplished by persevering in prayer than in taking charge of things myself. And I want to close this, and we're gonna do things a little bit different tonight. I want to close with this statement. I believe that if we could only hear better with spiritual ears today, we would hear a great cry from God the Holy Spirit over the roofs of our church, district office, seminaries, denominational headquarters, and missions agency, saying, listen to me, hear me, I have a plan for you. I know how my work should be run. Stop everything for a while and listen to my voice. See, some of us just need to quit doing stuff, okay? And so tonight, I'm going to pray right now, and then the praise team's going to come back up, and I just want to end with a time of just corporate prayer, and I'll lead you on that in just a little bit, okay? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for the challenge that it is. Lord, and I thank you that you have given us a task that we can't do by ourselves. Lord, that makes us run to you. Lord, that makes us, Lord, we have to fall at your feet because we can't do it. And so, God, I pray if there's anything going on in any life here tonight, Lord, that just needs a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit, Lord, would you intervene? Would you intervene? Would you intervene? God, I thank you for your Spirit, and I thank you for this group of people and their attentive hearts. God, and I thank you for your word. Amen. So what we're going to do, we're going to do just a time of praying. Because I think, honestly, every one of us need to just be praying before the Lord, okay? And what I'd love to do is in this time, Matt's going to play a little bit. And just pray that God would break the walls between us and Him. I mean, if there's something between you and God, pray that God would do that. And when I say pray that, I want us to pray out loud. Okay, and I know that's going to be uncomfortable for some of y'all, and you don't have to, but I'm going to tell you what, there is something beautiful about when God's people pray, okay? Man, we had a great, I don't know how many of y'all went to the prayer thing at Living Hope the other night, Wednesday, huh? Beautiful, right? Unity, praying out loud, it was awesome, okay? Really, really enjoyed that. Also pray that God would break down walls between Christians and non-Christians, okay? That God would give us an inroad to somebody's heart. And that God would break down walls between us churches. Okay? Because we can't handle everybody in Bryan anyway. But there's lost people need Jesus. And that God, and that He would break down the gates of the city, of this city, to receive His good news. Okay? And that we would add to our faith. Let's take a time of prayer, and then when we're through, Matt's gonna pray. One thing I know, in your insert, you have a prayer guide. I'm asking everybody here this Sunday to take some time and pray with your family, okay? And if I see you, I'm going to ask you, okay? And you do the same for me, okay? And I give you a guide. You know, that's just a guide. Hey, let God lead you how He wants you to, okay? Let God lead. Don't let that guide do anything. You just let God lead you.